I think it's really hard to be a man today. And to keep me balanced on this, Pastor Tina is going to come up and help keep me from just completely jumping off a cliff and saying a lot of silly things. I think one of the things that I want to clear the air of right away is simply this, and you know what I told Pastor Tina. In the church, we don't really seem to have a problem with women. Maybe the clergy do. I shouldn't be careful, right? Well, you know, all the sex scandals and stuff. No, what I mean is, we don't really seem to have a hard time getting women to come to church. We have a hard time getting men to come to church, to engage, and to engage in the religious and spiritual upbringing of their children. And so where I want to start today is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first 9 verses. I know that you've heard these things before, and I think it serves as the basis or the jumping off point for what we want to talk about on this Father's Day. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and your children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, and on your gates. So today we want to kind of focus on men. Pastor Tina, why don't you come on up, and because I need you. I need you. We need you. Up here right now. No, it's okay. Do you want a music stand? Don't stand over there behind me. You got to be right next to me, because otherwise it looks bad.
Okay.
If you're, you know, 3 paces back and to the left.
Is this where you want me?
Well, yeah, we can do that too. Why not? Put Pastor Tina right out in front. I just thought it would be kind of fun, you know.
I know it is.
You know, I was telling Tina, I think that we're at kind of a national crisis point, and that's why so many of the things that I want to say today are, I think they're pretty sharp. I am aware, and I will so stipulate that, you know, if you're a man and you're here today, you're probably done a good job. I'm preaching to the choir. There's a bunch of guys that really ought to be here, and that aren't, and that's frustrating. I think one of the things that bothers me the most is the failure of men to simply show up. And I don't just mean at church. I just mean everywhere. They just don't show up. And if they are there, sometimes I wonder if they really are there. I'm thinking about one of the refugee families that we work with, and I'm looking at this mother, and she has, 5 kids, and she's alone. Where's Dad? Dad went back to the country of origin. He's gone back to fight in some civil war. He's left her with the kids, and he thinks it's okay, because they're in a better place, they're safe, and now he's going to go off and do what he thinks needs to be done. I look at this woman and I realize how much she's had to adapt. She comes from a village, no running water, No electricity. Very, very primitive by our standards. Before she came here, she did not speak English. Before she came here, she had no knowledge of how complex life could be. She holds her family together on $1,600 a month, $620 rent, and she makes it go. And I think that is just incredible. That's amazing. So see, here's the thing. Where's Dad? Because by golly, men have a part to play in the raising of their children. And if you don't step up and do it, it will not get done. And I think that so many of the things that we battle with in our society right now are because we have done a crappy job raising our kids. And I think a lot of it is because the men don't show up. I like that video a lot. One of the things that it starts off with is racism and slavery and all that stuff. Yes, I absolutely do believe that we are still suffering the effects of that. And if you're like me, you would like to say to the entire nation, well, come on, just get over it or whatever. But it's not that simple. Because what we're dealing with are people. And people are complex. And there are a lot of complex feelings. And we have not respected men, particularly minority men, but I think also, and this is why I need Pastor Tina, I think also men in general. It's hard to be a man because there is no appreciation for you living your life the right way. There just isn't. And by the right way, I mean you show up, you're a dad for your kids, your loving support for your wife. You're more than just a good provider. You're also a teacher, a director, a guide, a protector. And, you know, when you look at People magazine, you're standing out the checkout lines and you see who gets in print. It isn't the guys who show up every day. It isn't the guys who are there for their kids. It's the guys who change in their wives for the newest models, younger, faster. It's the guys with the better cars, the bigger houses, the ones who may have made a wreck of countless lives. But there they are, and we celebrate that. And one of the things that I can tell you about men is that we are appreciation motivated. If you want to get men to do things, you tell them how important it is, and nobody else can do it except them. And then, as they move along, you encourage them. You're doing the right thing. When I teach the pre-marriage class, I explain it this way. Men, we're like airplanes, big ones. And we're flying across the country. And we would completely lose our way, except for these little beacons that keep telling you, you're on the right path. You are going to wind up in Seattle because you go from one beacon to the next. Somehow in our society, we've managed to take out all those beacons, and now men are just kind of like wandering all around in the airspace, and who knows where we're going to end up. Because without those beacons that say, hey, you're doing the right thing, and that what you do is important, and that no one else can do what it is that you do. You are essential to the process. And when we stop saying that, then men just kind of wander and they look around and they say, you know what, my friend over there, he just traded in for a younger model, and you know what, he appears to be really, really happy. Hey, my friend over there, you know, he doesn't have to worry about the kids except like every other weekend or whatever. Hey, you know what, what could I do with a couple of free weekends a month or worse? And that's the stuff that we go after. And that's the stuff that we pursue. I don't know. What do you think about the whole extended adolescent thing, Pastor Tina? Tell us how you really feel.
Tell us all right.
Because here's the thing. You have daughter.
Yep.
I've got two daughters. They're not going to marry that. No way. Yeah. Oh, wait till you're 30 years old to grow up or whatever it is. I kind of understand that myself, but...
You know, I think you were right. You said it goes back to the parenting. You know, an adolescent man mm-hmm. doesn't develop that without having been given responsibility throughout his life, without been given the respect, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. He hasn't been encouraged. He hasn't been given the opportunity to fall flat on his face.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we don't let people fail, it seems. Yeah,
right. You know, yeah. And if they do fail, it's not their fault. It's
right.
someone else. It's someone else's fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's the organization's fault. The taking responsibility and for your actions, and that each of your actions has a consequence. So, you know, parenting, I think, and why all of a sudden, you know, when you look at those years from I grew up, my parents, my dad was in World War II, and my brothers and I were born after World War II, and that was, you know, provide everything for your family. And yet, you know, somehow they instilled in us, and I think it comes from generation to generation to generation, you know, now's the time for you to go, now's the time for you to do. I remember asking my dad, and this could be a guy thing, I wanted $2,000 for a down payment of a house, for a house. I was working, I was making great money, I needed $2,000 more. And he said no.
Oh, wow.
He said no.
I bailed out my daughter in Monopoly, for heaven's
yeah.
sakes.
You know, and I look at even, and I'm going to go, I mean, adolescent men, we could have adolescent women. Laura just graduated. She's got a job. She got her own apartment. She's paying for it all. You know, if she wants more, she got to do it herself. I don't know. I don't know. Why would we keep giving more and more and more and more? Because it doesn't do any good.
No, it really doesn't. And, you know, the effects of, I think, you know, bad parenting are really the harvest that we're reaping these days. You know, what, this week I was at the jail. And
Twice, yeah.
And, sorry, yeah, but they let me out both times. And, you know, visiting with this young gal who, you know, has no father in her life. And, you know, does that impact the decisions that she's made and the crazy behavior that she's doing? Well, yeah, it does in a big way. And she's finally come to a major real... Go ahead.
I think her mom probably had no father either.
Well, I think that might
and
also
so it's
be
just,
the case.
Yeah.
It really compounds. You know, the roles that God has given us, the responsibilities,
thank you,
that God has given to, you know, men and to women, to mothers and to fathers, they are important. And they help to, you know, produce a society that maybe doesn't get so crazy. I think with this young gal, she's finally realized that maybe her addictive behaviors that have landed her in jail are a result of bigger issues, like some of their unresolved issues that she has with her parents, or the absence of her parents. I was in court the week before, and my friend Kareem, he's from Iraq, and his son was beaten nearly to death by a group of boys. And there's no question in the prosecutor's mind that, you know, this is a hate crime, and it's horrible, and it's ugly. And they caught one, and so they were going to, he pled guilty, and they're going to sentence him. And so we're in the courtroom waiting for this thing to happen. And one of the things that the defense attorney says about the boy is the fact that, judge, you have to understand that this boy has been living with his father. Father and mother are separated. He'd been living with his father, and his father is just no good. He's here in the courtroom today, but I'm just going to tell you, Judge, he's no good. He drinks all the time. No wonder that this child has a problem with alcohol, and by golly, is it alcohol that made him do this horrible, horrible thing. So, Judge, what you need to do is you need to go ahead and you need to let the boy off, and you need to go for a deferred judgment, and you need to give this boy into his mother's custody. He's 19 years old, because, of course, his mother, she'll do a much better job. And I'm just thinking, number one, at 19, why do you need to be put into your parents' custody at all? 19, you're old enough to be drafted. 19, you're old enough to go to war and die, for heaven's sakes. Step up. Grow up. And the other thing, why do we tolerate that? And there he is. I mean, when did bad parenting become a defense?
Or when did bad parenting become something novel? In the news,
when did it become novel?
I don't know where this guy lives. I think east somewhere. He has 22 children by 14 different women. And he's on the news. Yeah. Why is this okay? Why, he should be put in jail. Why is this okay? Why have we let this be okay?
Yeah, well, we certainly have let our standards slip. And, when fatherhood is nothing more than a sperm donation, it does have effects on your entire society. And like I said before, I think we see that again and again and again. And I think, it's not just the fathers who are absent. It's the fathers who are absent emotionally, even though they might be present physically, fiscally, both probably, fiscally and physically. You got to be involved. You've got to step up. You are the example that your son or daughter is going to follow about what manhood looks like. I'm so conscious of this, with daughters, because the number one influence on who these children are going to marry and the type of man that they choose is going to be me. Now, I don't want them to marry a dud. Do you know what I mean? And the thing is, look, I am I'm old and tired.
You are not old.
I am.
You may be tired, but you are not old.
Being so tired done made me old. You know? I was thinking the other day, I've been a pastor for 17 years. I don't see how that's possible.
I've been one for 3.
Yeah, I know. Well, sorry. You're fresh and you're young.
Yeah, and I'm older than you.
The young Pastor Tina. I am so conscious of that. The way that I speak to their mother, they're going to learn how a husband and wife communicate. The way that I touch them, they're going to learn what's appropriate. The way that I live my life, the decisions that I make, what they perceive as being valuable, it's all going to come in large part from me. We had an intern from Germany one year, and my dad was his supervisor. And I remember the intern saying that pastors' kids, they're a hard group anyway, but they either grow up to be pastors, or they grow up to be artists or musicians or something, or they grow up to be terrorists. Okay? So in other words, they go into the arts, they go into the ministry, or they like just completely go off the deep end or whatever. And I think that's very true, and I think it depends on our ability, because we have the tendency to live our work and to take it home, whether or not we can connect with our children that what we do is important in the kingdom of God, and that there are more important things in our life than just living. And I think that that's key. And I think that as fathers, that's what we have to do. We have to connect them to the things that are bigger and greater than we ourselves are, that there's a whole different way of looking at things. And when you come to church with your children, you are showing them this is of importance. And when you don't, and when you stay home because you're tired, which I completely understand, but you're saying, you know what, it's not that important. And when we make those kinds of decisions, it does affect the way they look at the big picture. When we pray with them, when we read the Bible with them, when we take the time, we're showing them this is important, and this is what adults do, and this is what's important to adults. And when we don't, they grow up not understanding that, and it becomes very difficult for them to connect with God.
Yeah, absolutely. their responsibilities. They bring them to church. Yeah. Teach them to pray. Pray with them. Pray for them. Serve with them.
I think so. Yeah, and I mean, I think we got four responsibilities. One, Dad, you got to lead your family to church. You got to. It's so important. You got to lead your family to prayer and Bible reading, devotional time. And I know that it's hard. Maybe it's embarrassing. The other thing is I don't think it's ever too late to start. These are important things. And, you know, if we aren't doing them, then I think we need to step up and start doing them. As Pastor Tina said, we've got to lead our families into service. Why is service so important? Why is going out and washing other people's feet? Why is being in the community in the name of Jesus so important? It's because you're showing them that you practice what it is that you preach. That it isn't disconnected. I can't tell you how many kids who have dropped out of church have done so and then told us that the reason that they did that was because they saw mom and dad doing one thing on Sunday morning and talking one way, and then when they got home the rest of the week, it was completely the opposite, if that's possible. And the thing is, yeah, that just makes hypocrites of us all. If this is important, we've got to live it out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm all for the fact that kids should grow up and they should have a joyous childhood and they should have every opportunity and they should be all they can be and, you know, all that stuff. But the thing is, what does it matter if the greatest portion of their life was to be in eternity? And they don't get that. Because all that mattered to them was their happiness in the here and now. What a complete and utter tragedy. The fourth thing is, you know, as dads, we need to lead our families to healthy relationships. And I think this has many different parts. Number one, it's the relationship that you have with your spouse. You are showing them what marriage looks like. And, you know, if you're a mom, dad, you know, so on, now it doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how old your kids are. They are still watching you. Because the thing is that one day, by the grace of God, they will be where you are. And they're trying to figure out what that looks like. What does retirement look like? What does post-retirement? Is there such a thing as post-retirement?
Post-retirement? Called eternal life in heaven.
Eternal life in heaven. Okay. Well, yeah, what does post-retirement look like? I mean, these are all incredibly important things to them. The other thing is modeling healthy relationships with your friends. Mm-hmm. I was shocked the other day because I got a call, and the woman was upset because she and her husband were very good friends with the couple that lived next door. And their kids played together and, you know, get this, right? They would spend a lot of time out on the patio having adult beverages and so on. And you know, they were close. And I understand that, you know, this happens. Well, the guy next door changed in his wife for the younger model. Okay? So here's the thing. He's still calling this lady's husband over to enjoy porch time. Mm. And she's not sure that this is the right thing. And it's like, well, what are you showing to the kids? That you can go ahead and you can, you know, destroy the home and you can keep on doing all the good stuff that you do in the house. It's hard. And, you know, as moms and dads, we have to step up sometimes. We've got to talk to our kids about this. And we've got to say, look, this isn't right. And because it's not right, we're not going to do the kind of stuff that we used to do. Not telling anybody, you're passing judgment, not telling anybody that you hate anybody. No, it's simply that things change. And because of other people's decisions, we have to also change our behaviors. You have to model healthy relationships with your coworkers. How else are they going to know what working looks like? And you have to model healthy relationships just with your kids. And you know, there's three things that every kid needs to hear. I love you. I'm proud of you. And this is what you're good at. One of the things that I know that y'all know, but what do you do with the kids who don't have moms and dads at home? Or whose moms and dads may not be functional? And I just put it to you that, yeah, we have a responsibility. Because when you look at our society and you see all these kids coming out of brokenness, here's the deal. Aren't they all our children? And you got to step up. And it's hard and it takes time, but it needs to happen. And that's another thing that you're never too old for. They need you to be role models for them. You know, I think about that sometimes. These boys, you know, are always coming in, you know, the church or whatever, and they've got, you know, a lot of brokenness at home. And you know what they like to do? They like to hug Pastor John, which, you know, as long as they start it, that's good with me. But the deal is, look, they just need somebody to show them what the appropriate way to touch people is. Does that make sense? I mean, we don't ever think sometimes about just the very basics on that level. If you don't show them, if they don't grow up knowing that, they'll never know. And then they'll be doing it wrong. And then they'll be wondering why people think that they're weird and wrong. And they'll feel bad. And they'll have low self-esteem. And they'll get into drugs and guns and, you know, all kinds of things. Looking for respect and looking for love and looking for admiration. When all along, we had the ability to communicate that in so many different ways. That's why we have to step up for the sake of our society, but also for the love of God, who showed us what love is. Mm-hmm. And love has to do with sacrifice. And we need to be doing that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how can you help us?
You know, I think women have a big,
wives.
I do. I think women, you know, if you're a wife, if you're a sister, if you're an aunt, if you're however your relationship is with the men in your life, the biggest thing, and studies show this, that the number one thing in relationships that men long for is respect, which differs from women. Women like to hear that they're loved. I loved you. I love you. I care for you. Studies show the number one thing that men long for in relationship is respect. And you know, I know you're going to find this really hard to believe.
No, hold on.
I'm not going to. But you know, sometimes women want to take control.
Oh.
Don't we? Really? Sometimes.
Really.
And you know, that is
shocker.
When we're doing that, and we think we're helping our guys, but what guys often hear, and this has been this is through research, is that when I say, oh, let me do that, I'll be glad to do that, we're really saying, I don't trust your ability. I don't think your judgment is good enough. I'm better. And it isn't so much, ladies, what we say and the way we hear it that we've got to consider, but we've got to think about how the men in our lives are going to hear it. Men want to be respected. And I think men, they need to be respected in their home specifically, number one, where the women are showing the men respect, they're appreciated, they're affirming them, they're telling them that they do a great job, you know. And I have to say, I'm guilty of this, because I really don't care to tell me that I did a great job loading the dishwasher. I don't care. That really doesn't, you know. But when Mark loads the dishwasher, I tell him he's done a great job, and he likes that. You know, so we're different, and you just have to understand those differences, and those differences are good.
Maybe we don't talk about it enough because it sounds so shallow and so petty, but yeah, I liked it when the people ooh and ah about how I took out the trash.
Yeah, yeah, you know, who cares?
You want it done again? You know?
I do.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. So how we respect the men in our lives, our husbands, our fathers at home really impacts our kids. And then how we interact and respect the men in our life, our husbands, in public. Mm. Do we like to do the little tease or the little dig in front? You know, we're out with our small group or with our couples. And, you know, sometimes, I have to be honest, I dig on Mark. for a response. I'm looking for just a reaction, you know. And you know my husband, bless him, love him, but not real reactionary, you know. And I have to stop that. You know, I have what I do and say and think and how I do it is not always heard or interpreted the same way by his mind, by the man's mind. And that's okay. God made us different. That's okay. Women, we are not there to, we shouldn't be out there to change our men to think the way we do. Oh, my heavens. You know, that would be just crazy, wouldn't it? You know, but we got to work together on that. Stop laughing. You know? So this respect and demonstrating respect. And, you know, it is a choice that we can make. Even when the man in our lives may kind of do something that we think, why in the world did they do that? You know what I mean? Don't you know? Still to respect them in how we say it, when we say it, where we say it. I think it's so important. We forget that. You need respect.
Yeah, we do.
And then I'd like to do another sermon on.
Oh yeah, what's
that? You know, I told you that.
Next week. Yeah.
Okay, men like to feel respected. Uh-huh. Women would rather feel loved.
Uh huh.
Why?
Oh.
I have a theory.
Well, there you go. Stay tuned, gentle listener. And we'll get there. Today we want to give all the Men of Integrity devotional book. And this is for you. And you can use it privately. But maybe also you could use it with your wife or with your kids. Dare you to do that and to make them a part of your devotional life as well.
Men kids.
Men kids. Yeah, you could take one for your men kids. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
all right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No, God bless you.
I didn't hit you.
Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.